from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Good morning, dear listener. It's Nigel Payne here from Scratch. In the absence of Martin Cousins, unfortunately, sometimes we do it on our own. Mostly we do it together. Today, I'm not on my own, though. I've got a guest person to interview. His name is Bob Tinker. He's an author, a serial entrepreneur, and based on the West Coast of America in San Francisco. So I'm very grateful to him for getting up very early today in order to make this call. So a welcome to you, Bob.
Thank you, Nigel. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, let's just talk about your career. You founded a company called Airspace, correct?
I was actually the first business executive. The engineers founded the company.
Right, okay. That was acquired by Cisco. So like many, many, many people who work for Cisco today, you ended up working for Cisco. You moved from Cisco to set up your own company called Mobile Iron. And then you sold Mobile Iron. You're now working, helping other organizations, other entrepreneurs, other small companies develop their careers and develop their businesses. And in that process, you've written a very interesting book called From Survival to Thrival. We won't go on about the semantics of the word thrival, but it's
which we know is actually a made-up word, by the way.
Excellent. But let's just go back. And what I want to know from you is that transition from a small startup, first business executive, into a huge company like Cisco. What did that do? What was that like? How did that work?
Yeah, so this is rewind to 2005. Airspace was growing fast. We went from like zero to $88 million of revenue over the course of 4 years. We sold enterprise Wi-Fi products just to sort of calibrate. And then, like happens in technology industries and other industries, we were bought by the large market leader, Cisco. And then all of a sudden, our small, several hundred person startup that's fast growing is now getting merged into the giant Cisco. And I have to say, going into it, you know, on one hand, there's sort of a celebration factor because it's a large honor to get bought by a company like Cisco. They're very acquisitive. They're good at it. It's, you know, a well-run company. And, you know, it's a way to really scale your products and scale your businesses to way more customers. But there's also another side of it, which is it's super scary and kind of sad because you're like, oh man, like, how am I going to be spending my time? You know, what are we going to be doing? You know, am I going to be gouging my eyes out with a pencil with process? You know, what are the things that are sort of the good and bad? So, you know, looking at sort of what ended up happening is the punchline is I had way more fun than I thought it was going to have. And it was a terrific learning experience for me personally because, you know, in terms of being the VP of Business Development at Airspace, I got to learn how to be part of building a fast-growing startup. And, you know, we got to about $80 million of revenue. And then move into Cisco. Now all of a sudden I have to learn how to operate in a much larger company that's much more complicated, but when you get it right, can really scale. And one of the things I'm most proud of there is that, you know, fast forward, you know, 3 years, we sold $1 billion of our product through Cisco. And at the end of the day, when you get acquired, some people sort of look at that as the end, you know, ooh, exit, yay. But actually, your job is to how do you help make your product and your business successful inside the new company? And I think that was sort of a healthy mindset for us to have. And I learned a ton about how to balance being working in a smaller company or a larger company. You know, how do you help make a product successful? And
how to scale, I guess. How to scale. 88 million to a billion. That's a massive journey in a very short amount of time.
And so there's an interesting hack, by the way, which is that I suggest to other companies that get bought by large companies, is that it's often hard to figure out how to get stuff done inside a large company.
Yep.
And even long after the acquisition was done, I still kept in touch with the original acquisition integration team that sort of project managed our acquisition, because they came from all the different disciplines within Cisco. And what I found is later, even though it's only been inside Cisco for 6 months, we needed to figure out how to get something done, that acquisition integration team became sort of our decoder ring to figure out how to get stuff done, even though we hadn't been at Cisco for 10 years. And I think that would be another suggestion that I would make to companies that get bought. Pay attention to the integration and stay in touch with the people that help, because they can
help. It's a really good tip. It's also a good tip that's one of Cisco's unique contributions, that they set up those integration teams from across the whole organization. They don't just bring the finance people in and say, make the numbers work. And that has been a measure of their success and their ability to retain staff after they buy companies. And you're a living example of that. They managed to retain.
I stayed for a lot longer than my deal was. And it was because I was having fun and I was learning.
Yes. Now, let's go to MobileIron. You left Cisco and you went right back to the beginning again. Let's start a company from scratch.
Three people and a whiteboard.
Yes, indeed. So what was the logic behind MobileIron, and how long was it between that three people and a whiteboard and then selling it?
We actually didn't sell the company. We took it public.
Oh, right. Okay. Public on
NASDAQ. Yeah, exactly. So it's still...
Still going. Going,
yeah, exactly. It's a $200 million public company.
Excellent.
The very beginning, MobileIron was three people and a whiteboard. And... why did I leave Cisco and go take on a new startup? We did mobile security back in 2008, before sort of when smartphones were just first becoming a thing. And
there's a smart niche, actually. Looking at what you were trying to do with that company, it was the right idea at the right time. I completely get it.
Yeah, and it turned. Yeah, we built a good surfboard at the right time, caught the right wave. I mean, in many ways, it was super logical to go do a startup. In many ways, it was super illogical to go do a startup. When AJ and Suresh, who were the two co-founders of MobileIron, came to show me what they were working on, I had one of those sort of, oh, crap, I got to go do that moments.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's just what it is, where you're just like, man, that's a good idea. You could just see how that could become something. And boy, this sounds fun. And so took the plunge and... joined Suresh and AJ and the three of us on a whiteboard and went off to go build MobileIron, which went from 3 to 1,000 people and $150 million of revenue over the next 7 years.
Excellent. And in the course of that, starting from scratch, going to a big company, getting out of the big company, starting from scratch again, building another big company, taking it public, are there things you had to unlearn as well as things you had to learn?
Oh, man, I love that question. I was a first-time CEO in building MobileIron. So this is my first time in the chair. And there were some things that really surprised me and in some ways sort of were frustrating as well, which is that I only realized in the rearview mirror that over the course of taking MobileIron from 3 people to 1,000 and 0 to about $160 million in revenue, that I actually had 3 really different CEO jobs. And it kind of snuck up on me. And it was a struggle because, what ends up happening is the things that made me successful in the early days became the things that sort of got in my way and held me back later. And the concept of unlearn that you brought up is exactly right. That I kind of wish somebody had talked to me about this, frankly. That,
we talk a lot about learning, but we rarely talk.
Yeah, that we're so busy learning that what we don't talk about is what are the things we need to unlearn.
So what did you unlearn?
Yeah, so I'll paint the context for sort of what the three different roles look like and then talk about some of the changes. So I'm going to use some comic book and pop culture analogies here. The very first CEO job of the three was sort of like Captain America or Wonder Woman in the woods. You know the scenes in the movie where it's like the platoon, he or she's like the platoon in the woods, like fighting? You're in the woods fighting with your platoon. You throw punches, you get punched, you're digging ditches, you're getting dirty, you're getting banged into trees. Like, it's great fun. It's like you and the platoon in the woods. That's like the first CEO job where you're basically both a leader and a soldier and in the field and getting dirty and the jack of all trades.
You're doing everything. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what you need to do at that stage. The second CEO job was more like the Avengers, where your job as CEO is to hire a bunch of superheroes, that all of whom each have a better superpower than you do, right? A sales superhero, a marketing superhero, a product superhero, an engineering superhero. And that sounds easy to do, but in reality, no grade A superhero is going to come work for you if you don't let go.
Yes.
And, you know, letting go is what you're not supposed to do in the Captain America stage. And as you move to the Avengers, you need to let go. Otherwise, no grade A superhero will come work for you.
Yes.
Or if they do, they're going to get frustrated and quit.
I had a CEO, Bob, who said to me, don't walk around with a screwdriver in your top pocket. In other words, when anything goes wrong, don't think you're the one who's got to go and, you know, open up the machine. You're the one who's got to go and tinker. Leave it to the people who know. You stand back. You do your job. You be the leader. Don't be the technician. And it's very tempting. You all get in there. Get your hands dirty. Yep. So you leave all that behind, okay?
Well, there's an interesting duality there that is kind of tricky to balance, I found, which is that, you know, you need to keep the screwdriver in your top pocket. Make sure you leave it to the team that's doing it. But also at the same time, you can't signal you're above it all. Like, you can't be afraid of your own work. Like, you have to be a servant leader where you're willing to be in the trenches with everybody, but it's their jobs. And like, there's a funny balance there, particularly in an early stage company, that I found kind of hard to strike between where do you delegate and have them, you know, take the screwdriver and let go versus showing the team like you're not sort of a ivory tower kind of CEO. Like, there's sort of a funny balance that I found striking there. There's a second thing that was interesting about the Avengers stage, which is CEO I struggled with as well, which is that, you know, when you hire a grade A Avenger superhero, of course they're better at whatever their discipline is than you are. That's why you hired them, duh. Well, what's the first thing that a grade A superhero executive comes in and does and talks about everything you've been working on so hard on for the last several years? They come in and they look at all the things you're so proud of that you've been building for the last 3 or 4 years and go, man, that stinks. I can totally do better. They totally call your baby ugly. And that doesn't feel good. And it triggers feelings of insecurity. But guess what? It's exactly the right thing that needs to be happening there.
Yeah.
So you have to sort of unlearn control and let go.
Yes. And learn humility. Sort of learn humility and respect.
Yeah, and sort of unlearn your pride and like having built what you built and be totally comfortable with somebody coming in and calling your baby ugly and be like, I'm going to make it way better. And you go, thank you.
And the third line, what's the third level?
The third CEO job, I actually really struggled with this transition. Transition from Captain America, the Avengers was a little bumpy for me, but I kind of got there. The third transition was much harder for me, which was the job goes from Captain America and the Avengers to more like Professor Xavier in the X-Men, where you are the dean of a university, your professors are your warriors bringing up the next generation. Your job is you have to do a lot fewer things for way more people and repeat yourself over and 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 over again. Which drove me absolutely bananas.
Yeah.
Because in my earlier CEO job, we were very much like, I was like, all right, let's talk about it. Let's decide. Let's go do it. And we're done. We talked about it, move on. In the Professor Xavier job, like, I had to let go of the things that helped, you know, I thought where I was adding value and essentially kind of repeat myself a lot. And I felt that that was a non-value added version of being a CEO. I was like, I'm a politician. I'm just a talking head. I'm repeating myself.
But it's critical is what you learn.
Exactly. No, I had to sort of, you know, rewire my brain to be like, well, wait a minute, Bob. That's actually at that scale. So we're like 500 people at this point. At that scale, that repetition is critical because a big part of your job at that stage is to be a signal generator. You know, that takes repetition. That takes simplicity. And so my communication style and the number of things I worked on had to change. So I had to sort of unlearn my mode of working from sort of the Captain America and the Avengers stage, where I was sort of like a battlefield commander, to Professor Xavier, where I was more like the dean of university.
Yes.
And I struggled with that transition, actually.
It's a hard transition because it's stepping back and being a figurehead. And that's working against all your instincts. From what?
Absolutely.
Is that where the book fits in? Is survival thrival? Is thrival that final stage of being the professor, letting everything take place around you, being the person with the consistent mission, purpose, and message? Is that the trace of the book?
There's two books. Survival to Thrival is the first book, and then Survival to Thrival book two is called Change or Be Changed.
Right.
And okay. This is exactly the concept that's in book two, which is, you know, the meta point here is as the company changes, and this applies to any stage company, it could be small, medium, large. As your company changes, your job changes, yet your title doesn't necessarily change. So as a result, you have to change, and I had to change. Or you have to change the people. And that's sort of this sort of both inspiring and kind of ruthless point, which is it's sort of change or be changed. And you can look at that as sort of a fear and challenge type of thing. Or, you know, you can really look at it as this powerful learning and unlearning opportunity where you get to develop and grow as a person and as a leader. And it's a spectacular learning experience. It's scary because letting go of the very things that actually made you successful sort of are kind of more wired into your personality than you think. And unlearning those takes a pretty like active focus, and it creates all sorts of feelings of insecurity. You sort of worry about, am I really adding value? You know, what am I going to do next? And sort of letting go and figuring out how to unlearn your old role and learn your new role is sort of this core lesson for me that came out of this growth experience. And going back to the beginning point, I kind of wish somebody had sat me down and talked to me about this. Yeah. And
isn't that also pattern of work for everybody, that as the world changes so fast around us, we've got to let go and embrace new learning and stop hanging on and holding on and trying to stop the new world happening. And when we try and stop it, we're trying to turn back the tide. It's impossible.
Yeah, it's sort of the unlearning and learning are sort of a powerful duality.
They are very powerful. I agree.
That I think, you know, applies to work, applies to your personal life. Like if you think about parenting a child, it's very similar. Like the things that actually made you successful as a parent with a younger child aren't the same things that are going to make you successful as a parent.
Absolutely.
With an adolescent, right?
Absolutely.
You know, or in, you know, whatever it
Similar
is.
It's a process of letting go control.
Exactly. And being,
encouraging.
Like,
being a professor.
And what's my next way to add value? And,
yes.
You know, it was a tough journey. And like many things, sort of frustration is the mother of inspiration. You know, that frustration with sort of why is building a company and being part of a growing organization so hard on you and so hard on the people? That was the inspiration for the book. You know, Survival to Thrival, Change or Be Changed. And you know, it really came down to the things I wish somebody had a chance to sit me down and talk to me about as first time CEO back in 2008.
Yes, I agree with you. So just quickly, we'll finish on who will get the most out of your book? Is it aimed at small business people, or is it aimed generally at anyone in work having to move through these transitions in their life and their career? Where does it sit?
So I think the primary audience is anybody that is part of a growing organization. And, you know, that could be a small, medium, large company, but anybody that's part of a growing organization that is going to sort of be in this situation where their role is changing around them, and how do they adapt to become successful to what the company needs at the next level. That applies to anyone. I do think the secondary audience of this is frankly anybody in business, because this concept of learning and unlearning and the cycle of unlearning and unlearning as your job changes around you was a very powerful, heartfelt lesson for me. And I do think that applies to anyone in any kind of role in any kind of company. It's just part of growing as a person and growing as a professional. And, you know, I think that's at the end of the day, kind of what it's all about. It makes you a better part of your team and makes you kind of a better human being. Like I think I'm a better person.
Going through those sides.
Inside as a result of sort of going through that hard stuff. You know, like many hard things in life, it sort of changes you on the inside for the better.
So let me just mention the books again, From Survival to Thrival and Change or Be Changed, written by the young, dynamic Bob Tinker. Available on Amazon, I would imagine, as well as other sources, but certainly available on Amazon. And let me leave you with one of your expressions, which I think I hope will be maybe a bit of an inspiration to everyone listening. And that is, frustration can be the mother of inspiration. And if you're going to learn, you have to unlearn. Excellent Amen. Message. Such a good opportunity to talk to you, Bob. I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nigel.
From scratch.